like Mahaprabhu, he himself said everybody should chant one lakh names. What about him? Was he supposed to chant one lakh? He may chant 2 lakh, 10 lakh, 20 lakh. What about Rupa Goswami? He composes so many rules and regulations. What about them? They are above rules and regulations. So if you are of that platform and your absorption is of that standard, then there's no rules and regulations which can bound you. 24 hours you are state of mind. So unless we are on the platform of bhava like that, we should strictly follow rules and regulations to come up to that standard. And we should hear Harikatha from such people like Narada and the Yudhishthira conversation. Of course, the listeners here are not Yudhishthira and the speakers here are not Narada. But still, we heard, we saw Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. He was, when he started the movement, and he was speaking Harikatha to everybody, even if any boy, lame, somebody, anybody would come, he would start speaking Harikatha, and then sang Parati, and the Brahmacharis ringing the bell, and they saying, oh, kick this personality, taking the time of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would become furious on this Brahmacharis. So this is absorption. We saw Gurudev, our Gurudev, he is also absorbed. So hearing Harikatha from these people will always benefit us. Now he said that Prahlad Maharaj is not an ordinary person, means is not an ordinary devotee, as sometimes we see in a state. He has tinge of all the rasas, chant, vatsalya, satya, madhu, even madhu also, he has some tinge of that fragrance was there also. Why? Why was that? Because from whom he heard Harikatha? He heard from Naraji. And Naraji, who is Naraji? Such an exalted person. He has access to so many places. So, of course, Naraji is very careful in seeing the qualification and adhikar, but still, he can't resist himself by giving tinge of that Madhur Vasa in the Harikatha. So, this is also there in Prahlad Maharaj also. Maharaj is speaking from there only, so they must have some evidence. Maharaj is not conscious. So, if that spider and this moth, this mundane, this material spider with each other, they can change their form and transform into another spider, what to say of when you want to absorb yourself in bhakti and your guruji of such a standard, it will not happen? It will definitely happen. That is why Ashtakali Leela Seva has been advised that and prescribed in our Sangha, but for qualified people. Not sure if you can really absorb your mind. Now at the moment we should be absorbed in doing Harina, absorbed in hearing. Not just you're doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, I have to do putting Hare Krishna. Oh, I have to do giving money Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is not absorption. Then he came to Kaam. What is Kaam? Means love. What is love? He says, by seeing beautiful form, then you completely become a dog. That is love. So this lust
become what?
A dog. When you become a dog by seeing a beautiful form, and you forget about everything else, and you don't see what is good, what is bad, what is right, what a place it is, and everything, then it is lust. It's such a degraded thing. But even lust applied to the lotus feet of Krishna will take you to the highest extreme point of devotion. He said, lust is not ordinary thing. Shivaji, Narad, Vishwamitra, they could not control themselves. So, lust is really condemned. But they said, still if you apply that to Krishna, it will definitely give you good results. Even he spoke one verse from Ramachritramanas, Ramayana, I forget the Chupai, but it said, there Tulsidas is praying that I may have same mood as this lusty person have for a woman, I may have the same absorption, because it's completely, 24 hours he's thinking of that. So that absorption I want in lotus feet of Krishna. Even Mahaprabhu said that also, and he spoke of that lady who is married but has a connection with another person, and she is doing all the activities of her house so expertly, so nicely, neat and clean, nobody doubts, but she takes time and goes needs to her lover. That is talking about, that is what is Parakya Bhav in the absolute platform or in the soul of Vrindavan. So even criticism means Ninda. Criticizing is also of two types. Out of enviousness and out of love. So both will give you two different results. Out of enviousness will burn you completely off from devotional track. And out of preeti, like Gopi, calling Krishna, Devotee, either that and feet and etc. So many things that you all know. Like that. It's a two different things. So if we have absorption by any means, either fearness, sneha means affection, or bhaya means fearfulness, all this means if we are having absorption, then definitely, if it's like devoid of all these previous things which were prohibited, if devoid of all the prohibited things and other things, then definitely we'll get results in transcendental matters. Now here Narad Muni gave example, he quoted the example of gopis to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Although this example doesn't fit there, but just a general topic, it's a very general topic, and he cited the example of gopis, that if gopis, they applied their lust towards for Krishna and they got Krishna and their absorption was so successful that Krishna reciprocated with them, then what could give up any other thing? So he said, of course, the lust of gopis is not lust, it is called love, it's a pure love. But it's just talking here, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is acting here that he doesn't understand anything, so Narad Muni is saying to him like that. So what to say of any other thing? Because lust compared to enviosity is more degraded. Being envious and being lusty is two different platforms. Lusty is more degraded. So here in this verse, there's six different means are set of absorbing mind. We take out of that two, kama and sneha, which we can apply in our braja bhakti. Which sneha? Sambandh yukta sneha means affection out of relation. Because we cannot apply enviosity in devotional service, because this is not favorable. This is completely unfavorable, because enviosity is to kill Krishna, so it is not favorable for devotion. So we left it, we leave it, and also we leave fear, right? Because there is no question of getting fear from Krishna, so we leave the fear also out of this. So now what left is sambandhatmika and kamatmika, two left there. So out of this also, sambandhatmika is that we can have relation with Krishna as lokik satbandhuva. Lokik satbandhuva means having relation just like it is our relatives and friends like that. That's called lokik satbandhuva, we should have them. Just like Krishna has this covered voice, he gets on his shoulders, he gets on their shoulders and they snatch from his mouth and from their mouth like that. What to say of gopis, how he would be doing with gopis. Even sometimes said that if gopis are eating and then he takes out from their mouth and like that, oh, he thinks it's gopis. And then, but this sneha also will leave here. The sneha which is mentioned in this verse will leave, because this sneha is a sort of mundane. It's not that sneha which comes after fame, man, pranaya, not that sneha. And sneha up to the level of Pandavas is mixed with opulence, Aishwarya. So we need that also. We don't take that sneha also. So what left is purely Sambandhatmika and Kamatmika. And out of that, Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya, all of them have Sambandhatmika for Krishna, because Yashoda gave birth to Krishna, so she has a relation, and as a result of this relation, she has affection for Krishna, mamta, attachment for Krishna. This is what is required. In the stage of bhava, we manifest mamta to some degree. Mamta means affection, attachment to some degree, but not to the fullest extent. We only have this on the level of prema. But at this place, we have to see if we have it for Gurudev or we don't. If we have affection and attachment for Gurudev, then we can progress in our bhajan. But actual reality is we don't have affection and attachment for Guru. That's why our bhajan is stand still. It's like standby. It's not progressing at all. And this is the only obstacle in our progress. How we should have this affection for Gurudev? We should have our life in our hands. And then having life in our hands, we should serve Guru. Understand this place?
No.
Having life in our hands and then serving the Guru. And Kamatmika also is of three different standards. Sadharani, Samanjita and Smartha of Kupja and queens of Dwarka and Brajagopis respectively. And also even this Smartha is of so much standards are there. And the best is Srimati Radhika. She has Madhuryamai Mamta for Krishna, which is unparalleled. So this is why we are being advised in the beginning of our bhajan. Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami are advising us right here when we are starting that what kind of affection or attachment we should aspire for Krishna. We have been taught here, he is advising us, it should be kamatmika, like the gopis have. Just like Mahaprabhu, he spoke about all rasas, vatsalya, this and that, but what does his, in which rasa he was situated? Or Rupa Goswami spoke, but in what rasa he was? He was in kamatmika, and that also tat tat bhavichami means that always being pleased in the union of Srimati Radhika and Krishna and always arranging for their meeting. So service to both. This is what their mood was. So here in this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, all these things mentioned up to this level in sutra form. Sutra means capsule, in form of a capsule mentioned here. So Prahlad Maharaj also had some affection and attachment of Krishna, and also because he had Krishna as superior, and Krishna also had this for Prahlad Maharaj. And we see that this is how he was so powerful that he injected that in all the children and all the class fellows, and they all become another Prahlad.
What's that again?
Prahlad Maharaj also had some affection and attachment for Krishna. So that is why Krishna also has some attachment and affection for Prahlad Maharaj, and this mamta or this affection was the power of Prahlad Maharaj, which he injected in all the class fellows, and they also became another Prahlad Maharaj. All of them. Radhe Radhe. So that is why we are advised that we should have anushilan, means practice. In absorption, our practice should be in complete absorption, not wasting time. We have come here and we are thinking, oh, I'm getting my meal properly on time, I'm getting my clothes on time, and I'm having proper shelter, and also I'm getting some respect as whatever extent I want, so I'm completely satisfied. So there's no absorption in bhajan. No, we have to dive deep into the literature of Goswami's. We have to dive deep in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to dive deep in the Goswami Granthas, Srimad Bhagavatam and all that, and we have to understand these things. Then this absorption will bring some relief. Practice in absorption. This is what it said. Avesh se anushilan. If this is not there, no use. It's just wasting time, because time is passing. My quota of prestige, my quota of food, my quota of shelter is being fulfilled, so no problem. Power to me also. There's no other source. It's the same person, same source. And when he asked him, where is your God? I didn't see him. He says, you can wear it, not it, it's everywhere, it's present in all places. Just like we are hearing this, so many times we have heard it, but still we don't have faith on this statement. And sometimes we try to do activities, we see now Gurudev is not seeing, Vishnu is not seeing, we are fighting, it's going to do some undercover things like that. So this is like faithless, it means no faith, lack of faith, that we see Gurudev and Krishna, they are not seeing us. This is very bad. So unless, still, although we don't have faith, but still we should keep in this our mind that Gurudev and Vaishnava and Krishna, they are always seeing. It's not like that they don't see. They are present everywhere at all times and they are seeing this. So, Harinakashipu said, so it's present everywhere? Yes, it's present everywhere. In this wall, in this pillar, in this sword, and everything. Okay, everywhere. That means he uses it, and that is the big piece too. It's one of the pillars, and then as soon as we get this, and this big uproarious sound come out of that, and big huge figure of Narasimha appears, half man and half lion, and so much big mouth and teeth coming out, and this hair standing on his head, and fire coming out, and all the clouds and everywhere, everybody becomes so much fearful, in this voice, and this shabda, and atas of Narasimha Dev. Everybody's ears deaf and so much harm. And then they start fighting with Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu gives them good Veerasvada. He wants to give them a good fight. And then we see something with Gada from Lord's hand is slipped. And then all the demigods come to the oh, what happened? And they pray, oh, you quickly kill him, don't play with him, you see, because he just come and kill him. So you do it quickly. And then as soon as he sits, and then he again come out and he sees that now I'm going to kill him back. So like that he thinks. And then as soon as this happens, and the devil got sick, so when they run back, and then they come again. So this goes on for a while. Why? Because Lord is waiting for the appropriate time. It should not be day, it should not be night, it should not be any month, it should not be many years. Should not be with any weapons, it should not be up on, it should not be on the ground, and so many others. Taking care of all the benedictions and boons given by Brahma, he takes him on his lap and takes care of his stomach. He says all the angels sign and put on his lap. This is how he kills Hiranyakashipu. Now, he's killed and he's still so angry, so angry, and he's playing out with the body of Hiranyakashipu. Shiva, Brahma, everybody's here to come. Eyes are like red iron burning balls and nobody wants to come. Even Lakshmiji is here. So then they go to the young boy, you come here. You go here because he appeared for you. You can go. And then Lalmaj goes and jumps on his lap and goes like that. And all this iron is burning with fire. And he has not coming up and says, oh Prahlad, dear Prahlad, I need so late. You please forgive me by your sins. And Prahlad Maharaj says, no, it's okay. Like that, it goes on. And then after a conversation, he says, okay, ask for a boon. What boon you want? And Prahlad Maharaj says, oh Lord, I am not a businessman that you come here and I should ask you for a boon. But still you have asked, that means in my heart I must have some desire. That's why you're asking me. Otherwise, why would you ask me? So, give me boon that this desire should get completely eradicated, if it is there at all. Otherwise, why would you say me to ask for some boons and benedictions? So, and then again the Lord requested him again and again. So he said, okay, if you think so, then my father, although he is such an offender at your lotus feet, said you forgive me. He said he's already done. And he says, according to one's level of his advancement, if one is Uttamadhikari, then his 21 generations will get separated. And then if one is Madhyamadhikari, then 14 generations will get separated. And if one is Kanishadhikari, then 7 generations will get separated. What you say of your one father? No problem. That is taken care of. You ask for something else. And he says, oh, still you want to give me? Then I pray that all these conditioned souls, there's so much suffering, so much living entities in this material world, and they're suffering in their ignorance out of their karmas and reactions and like that. So I pray that all of their reactions be given to me, and you take them all back to Godhead with you in your home in spiritual kingdom, and I may stay here and suffer their reactions. And then nothing to do. Oh Prahlad, you're so great. You're so great. Like that he prays, praises Prahlad Maharaj. Hey Prabhu, once come in. Now, anyone who hears this wonderful description of Prahlad Maharaj and Narasimha Dev and the whole discussion and conversations will develop bhakti in his heart. And in the end, Narad Muni has given some few sutras, few instructions that if anybody applies in their life, in their practice of devotion, being completely absorbed, they've definitely benefited. That is, we should do Visham Seva, serving Guru. No, I don't have exact translation of this Visham word, but
intimacy.
Ah, yes, intimacy. Yes. So we should serve Guru intimately, and we should always be concerned for his pleasure and his satisfaction. If he says, go and serve Vaishnavas, we should give our life in serving the Vaishnavas. This body is no use. You just leave this body, you're not going to take this body. So give this in service of Vaishnavas. And if this body gets in the service of Vaishnavas, and then this is the success of this body. We should see the example of how Narottam Thakur served Lokanath Goswami, how he should be served his Guru. Like that we have to serve our Guru. Then hearing is hearing, otherwise hearing is
not.
I'll go through some time. I don't
know. I don't
know. After this, I will go to. If you will not come, I will speak with myself.
But then you don't have to speak like love.
You are staying here or you are going to that place?
Yes.
Here. Immediately you prefer to go here. Yes. Because the persons are very bad. Last night they snatched a golden chain from a lady. So you should go.
Okay. Another pastime. He said that, as we have already told, that this Bhagavad Granth is written in Prokshavad, that is, it's hidden. Its meanings are indirect. So, unless we are associating with Rasik and experienced Vaishnavas, we cannot get to the inner meaning and the mysteries of Bhagavatam. Very difficult to get there. Similarly, this pastime of Lord Vamandev is also full of mysteries and so many secrets. And unless we are having the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava, we cannot come to know about all the secrets. And we see in this pastime, Lord Vamandev, he became so much controlled by love of Maharaj Bali that he started standing as a doorkeeper at his palace. Now, when he was giving the duty of a doorkeeper there for so many years and years, and kalpas, then Lakshmiji started worrying. She said, "Where is my husband? Where is the people?" And she was very upset. And then in the meantime, Narad Muni approaches to Lakshmiji. He has conversation with Narad Muni, and then Narad Muni says, "Oh, I saw him there. He went to cheat his devotee, but he got cheated himself by the devotee." So then Lakshmi said, "What is the way to bring him back to this place? Because I want him." So then he spoke something, some sort of whispering in her ear, and then she understood what to do now. And then she disguises herself as an old lady, as a Brahmani, one begs alms, and she approaches Bali Maharaj. And it's daily duty of Bali Maharaj that every day morning, for a few hours, he gives charity. And he gives charity to all the Brahmanas and everybody who comes to his door, and fulfills all their desires, whatever they ask for. So this Lakshmiji, disguised as old lady, is a beggar. She approaches him, and she also stands in the queue, in the last. So Bali Maharaj sees everybody and is giving, and his eyes goes to on this old lady. Of course she's old, but she's very divya, continent, so much effulgence coming out from her. So it seems that she is very powerful and very austere in her practice of sadhana. So he quickly that day gives charity to all the other people, and then her turn comes, and he calls her and says, "You seem that you want something from me, because you are here in this queue, so tell me what you want, what is your desire?" So he says, "I do want one thing, but you have to give a vow, or you have to promise first that you will give me. Unless you give me a vow or a promise, I will not ask for anything." So he said, "Oh, once before I gave a vow and I was in this condition. Now also you want promise? Okay, no problem, I still give promise. Even I'll cut off my head and give you if you want it." So then, in a very hesitating manner, she says, he looks towards Vamandev and says, "I want him." So you gave him to me. So Bali Maharaj starts smiling and laughing. He said, "Oh, I knew the whole thing. So you are Lakshmiji and you want him." So he said, "Okay." He calls Vamandev and he says, "Dear Lord, I have given her the word, so I should give you to her. At the same time, I can't leave you because I want you here." And what his duty was that his palace had 40 doors, Bali Maharaj's palace, and he has told the Lord that whenever I go out and whenever I come in, it's not sure from which door I will go out and when I will go out and when I will go out. Everything is completely uncertain. But what I want, whenever I go out and whenever I come, I should see your darshan, I should take you. So as a result, Lord Vamandev has to stay 24 hours at his door, because he doesn't know when Bali Maharaj will come and when he will come. Like that. So now he said, "I want you in this position also. I don't want to leave your association. And also I want to give Lakshmiji to you, you to Lakshmiji. So work out something, a solution, how to satisfy both the parties." So then Vamandev, he manifests his two forms. Same Vamandev, one form, he says Bali Maharaj, and another form, in another form he goes with Lakshmiji to their place, to their abode. So here, in this Bhakyan also, in this verse, he is citing Lord himself telling the glory of his devotees. He says, "My devotees are my heart and I am their heart because they have given everything for me. So why I will not give everything for them? Because at first they have already given, they have given their house, their personal desires, etc., etc., etc. So I will not also stop giving up my own things for them. So it's equal reciprocation between the Lord and His devotees. Then he spoke about the pastime of Mohini Swarupa. And in Mohini Swarupa he is saying, when the demons and demigods, they wanted to churn the ocean for nectar, and they made a planning how to do it, and then they called Nagvasuki, Vasuki snake, he came, he acted as a rope, and Mandrachal Parvat, it acted as a stick, a churning stick, and then they started churning. But in the first place, now they were deciding who should hold the tail of the snake and who should hold the mouth of the snake. So these demigods are very clever always. So they play tricks in such a way that these demons are always end up with some kind of misery and some negative points. But, and the demigods always benefit because Vishnu also gives them this intelligence. Now, this time they said, oh, we should go to the mouth of the snake in the first place. So these demons, they always want to, in competition, high competition, and they want to put them down, and they want to come. They say, no, we will take the mouth of the snake. So they said, okay, you take the snake. You are elder, water server, so we'll follow your thing. So this is how this demigod, they end up taking the tail of Vasuki, and demons end up taking the mouth of them. And when they start churning, so from Vasuki's mouth, so much poison comes, and so much fire. And this demons, they are completely fried up in this fire. So this is how they again die, and then they just like completely dead. Then again Vishnu comes and revives them, and the whole process starts again, churning up. And then after churning, so many things start coming from ocean. And first of all comes big poison, tall food fish. And it is so effulgent and fiery that it's burning the whole planetary system, whole cosmic condensation, and all the creatures, they are completely suffering. Now they say what to do, and then Vishnu tells them, and Brahma tells them that you go and invite Shivaji, Lord Shiva, invite him, he is the only person who can help us in this position. And both of them go and pray to Shivaji. Because he's very innocent, Bhola Bala, very innocent. He says, oh, for your sake, you even want to give me poison? Okay, no problem, I'll take poison. But when he takes, then he says, this poison is so powerful, and it is so much heat coming out of it, so much fire. And I have in my heart Lord, who is so much soft, that not even soft than butter. So how can this poison, when goes in, it will hurt my Lord. So I can't take it in. And I have to take it also because then whole world is suffering. So he takes and puts that in his neck. So this kind of power only Shivji has, nobody else has it. It's right here. Doesn't let it go in, and also it's not out. But here Maharaj said that even for Jiva Tattva, it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Nainam Chindanti Shastrani Nainam Dharati Pavakana Chainam Kalidyanta Apuna Shushiti Maruta. That these are the qualities of the soul. It cannot be burned, it cannot be soluble in water, etc. All these qualities are there. Vasusri of Lord Shiva, who is Harihar Eka Atma, means so much near to Lord, and he is himself part of the personality of Godhead. So nothing happened to him when he put poison in his neck. And we see that his neck became blue, so it is called Neelkanth. It is just to show of worldly people that this poison affected and his neck became blue, but not actually anything happened to him. He was completely powerful to hold this poison in his neck. After that came Madira, intoxication. And then when this intoxication, before this also came three, four things. So many apsaras, apsaras means the ladies in the heavens, and then also one horse named Uchchishrava horse, and also elephant named Ravas. All this came, and Indra and demigods, they took all these things. And when the intoxication came and this demon said, oh, you've taken so many things, now we want it. And this demigod was again very clever, said, okay. First they said, we want to take it, then said, okay, you take it. And they gave. And this demon, they quickly drank all the intoxication. And already their intelligence is covered because there is a mode of ignorance. Now taking intoxication completely, ajnana, ignorance, completely bewildered. Now, here Maharaj said that devotees also take madira. But they take harinam, madira, madati, matta. This intoxication of harinam. Always keep them. Not that ordinary intoxication. Then, after this nectar, when they were turning, nectar came. And when this nectar came, and this demon, they just jumped on the nectar pot and took it in the hand. And now demigods were thinking how to not trick them, because if they drink this nectar, they become powerful, and then we cannot overcome them. So somehow or another, we should take this nectar from them. And they were thinking, but now it was very difficult for them to take from the hands of this demon. Then they prayed to Lord Vishnu, and then for their help, Lord Vishnu took a form of very beautiful 16-year-old girl and decorated in such a beautiful manner that she was really completely, she took their hearts and minds of both the demigods and demons, and they were completely fascinated by her. And then she said, okay, you sit in this line. And the demon said, and they said, the demigods, you sit in this line, and they sit in this line. And she's seeing with her sidelong glances and smiling face to the demons and saying, oh, I'll give you. And then they are satisfied. And then she's seeing towards demons, etc., and also specifying them. And then she started giving it to all the demigods. And one by one, feeling. And in the meantime, and after a few turns, the demons again jump, oh, you're finishing all. And they say, oh, and then they give them satisfied. Like that. So it goes on, and in the last, the sun god is sitting, and moon is sitting. In between, this Rahu demon comes. And because he sees, oh, she's finishing it. She's finishing up the whole thing. So before she finishes them, I should take at least something. So he jumps in, and he takes. And it's not even one drop is gone in her mouth, but just some sprinkles, because she's serving, probably touch his mouth or something like that. Before it goes down his neck, Vishnu's chakra comes in front of his neck, because Moni is Vishnu himself. So from then onwards, we see that there is animosity between this sun god, moon, and Rahu. And we see this eclipse many times. This is sun eclipse, sometimes sun eclipse and moon eclipse. This happens. After this, Moni Sarupa, Maha said that once Lord Shiva also, he desired to see this beautiful Moni form of the Lord. And he went on, sat on in meditation and pray to the Lord, oh Lord, I want to see you, that beautiful form of that Moni Sarupa, which has the demigod when the ocean was churned, and you gave them the nectar. I want to see that beautiful form. So Vishnu said, why are you interested in this form? Just you do your bhajan, don't get distracted, because this form is completely bewildering you. But he still insisted that I want to see. So God said, okay, if you want to see. And then very soon Lord potency started working, and the whole atmosphere became so wonderful and intoxicating, and it was sunset, everything, rivers flowing, and in that Lord dressed, transformed into the Moni Sarupa, again 16-year-old girl, very beautiful, and also giving half glow, something like that, and then dancing, and she has one lotus flower in her hand, and she's playing, and then it drops, and then she picks up and drops, and picks up and drops, and like that she's playing. And Lord Shiva, when he sees this beautiful form, and becomes mad, and then he runs after that beautiful form. And Parvati goes, oh, where are you going? And he doesn't listen, and he's just running. And she tries to catch hold of Shiva, and she catches his mrigcha, he wears the deer skin, and she holds deer skin, but he leaves that also and runs naked, completely mad. And he says, what had happened to him? Oh God, who will save? Like that, she says. But he completely is running. So then, after some time, Lord again covers the whole thing back, and then comes in the form of Vishnu, and then Lord Shiva is being very embarrassed and he's saying, "Oh Lord, forgive me like that, it's free." So this happens. Maharaj said, this story of this pastime of Lord Shiva wanting to see this Mohini form of the Lord, when does it occur? It occurred in the beginning of Satya Yuga. Because where beauty of this Mohini Swarupa is mentioned, she has been described extremely beautiful. And Maharaj said, but I feel because this is in the beginning of Satya Yuga, that means Dwapara Yuga has not come, means Krishna and Gopi's pastime has not yet been known to the world. So we cannot compare the beauty of Mohini Swarupa with Gopi's. They are much more beautiful than this Mohini Swarupa. And then Krishna is Manmath Rupama. Like that. This Mohini Swarupa is the Maya. And the jivas, they are attracted with this Maya and they are entangled in this material world away from Krishna. And it's very difficult to overcome this Maya. So Krishna says, Devi Heta Gunmai Mam Maya Drasya Mam Nidhi Prapadanti Maya Nisam Sarantide. Only those who unconditionally surrender to me, only they can overcome this Maya, no other. Or if you unconditionally surrender to the devotees of the Lord, who are exalted personalities, just like God. Only they can help us out to get rid of this Maya. There's no other way. So how we do unconditional surrender? We pray. We pray to Guru, O Gurudev, I'm devoid of all the qualities. I don't have any power. I don't have any strength. I don't have any bhakti also. And my intelligence is too weak and my mind is so troublesome. So I pray to your lotus feet that please pick me up from this Maya. And then Gurudev, because he's merciful, compassion personified, so he helps us out to get rid of this Maya. Still it's very difficult. We are hearing so many times, this is Maya. But still this thing doesn't fit, we don't understand. We see so many examples also. One time this Narad Muni and Angira Rishi, his friends, and they are preaching and so much preaching to Maharaj Chitraketu, but still he wants to get entangled in the affair of having a boy as his son. At other times we see this right in Vrindavan, this Kaliyada, this Sobri Rishi, and he just saw affair between two fish and then he becomes completely bewildered. All his supposed to have 10,000 years, slips away. And then he marries 50 daughters of King Mandhata, and for the next 10,000 years he's completely entangled with them, and he has his sons, grandsons, etc. And then he comes back and says, oh, I wasted 10,000 years there in the first day, 10,000 years, 20,000 years, go on my life with it. He comes back and he takes the association of all the Vaishnavas, and then he again comes back to Krishna consciousness. But what is the cause behind all this incident? What is the cause? The cause is, when we become rebellious to the devotees of the Lord, because it's Swabhi Rishi, he insulted or offended Garu, who is a devotee of the Lord. On whose saying? On the saying of the fish. This fish requested to Swabhi Rishi, oh, this Garu, he came and he ate our husband. So, Swabhi Rishi, because he's saint, so he, some sort of compassion came in his heart and he felt merciful towards this fish. So this is mundane mercy, not transcendental mercy. Just out of mundane compassion, he said, okay, if this Garuna comes this next time here, his head will collapse into so many pieces. And Garudev just smiled, okay, we'll see whose head will collapse in pieces. But later on Maharaj said that only by the mercy of Garuda, this Sobri Rishi came back to Krishna consciousness and got the mercy of Vaishnavas. Because Lord's devotees are, they have equal vision. Their boon and curse are the same. There's no difference between them. That's what we discussed yesterday. Now he is talking about two paramparas, dynasties came from Brahma, Chandrabansh and Suryavansh. Brahma's first Manas, his children took birth from mind. So they did not work as ordinary people, as we say. And then also afterwards, the Saptarishis, seven saintly personalities, Atri, Marichi, Vashishta, Pulak, etc., the seven saintly persons, they came out from Brahma. And from Marichi, Kashyap came. Kashyap took birth from Marichi. And from Kashyap, Kashyap married Diti. And from Diti and Kashyap, Vivasvan took birth. And Vivasvan is sun god from the sun dynasty, started from whom sun dynasty started. And Vashishji, who is brother of Marichi, he became the priest for this dynasty. Why he became priest? Because Lord Ramchandra was about to come in this dynasty of Suryabansha. Then one dynasty came from Atri Rishi, who is also brother of Marichi, Atri's wife Anusuya. And then they had Chandrama, moon, as their son. And then from moon, they had a son called Buddha. But then they had some controversy with this son between moon and Brihaspati. Brihaspati said that he's my son, and then moon said it's my son, and they had a big fight. And even the fight between demons and demigods started, something like that. It ended up in a big affair. But then they asked this, his wife Brihaspati asked that, okay, if you tell us truthfully, speak to whose son is it. So he said, oh, it's moon's son. So they say, okay, take it. But then generally rules and regulations applied for human beings cannot be applied to the demigods. So the women there are still pure, even if they give birth to the children. So Brihaspati says, you're still a safe lady, so I want to beget the children from you. And then he begets the children from this lady. Now from Bodh, his son was Pururva. And from Pururva came Yayati. And from Yayati came Yadu. And from Yadu, this Yadu, Yaduvansh, this started. We had again Shusen and Parjanya. And from Parjanya we had this, Shusen had this two. Yeah, Vasudev. And again we have five brothers of Nand Babas. And that dynasty came down there. Means there it fitted into Vasudeva and Nand Baba. Then again it joined in one as Krishna became their own son. Krishna is one. Also Vasudeva and Nand Baba. And we have so much shlokas saying these things because they all claim Krishna to be their son. Vasudeva said, it's my son.